Okay, so the holidays are over, and it's now what we're being told is the me season, where you are thinking about what you want for yourself and maybe using some of those gift cards and cash that grandma gave you and that kind of thing. I know that if I gifted myself something right now, it would be like a Baboon go bag. I would take it with me to Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, maybe even be able to take it with us if we ever get a chance to go to Galaxy's Edge and wait in that long line. See, Baboon. Actually makes really technical duffel bags for all of your life's adventures. They're bags that are using waterproof materials, they're tear-proof, and they last forever. And every bag comes with free shipping and a lifetime guarantee. So these go bags, they're designed for you to have something ready to go and just take a weekend trip or get on that airplane and go check out that next Comic-Con or whatever. They come in two small sizes or two sizes, a small size for putting on the overhead compartment, and then a large one that you can check in. Both sizes can be stuffed in a trunk. They can be carried on your back or dragged wherever your adventures take you, and they never break, periods. So, see why Fast Company is actually calling it the best travel gear of 2018, from business travel to desert adventures. We're excited that Baboon is a sponsor of Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. We want you to visit Baboon to themoon.com and enter code MESEASON, and you can receive 10% off your purchase. That's Baboon to themoon.com, code MESEASON, Baboon to themoon.com, code MESEASON.
This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadrons Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast, and Retro Inc. Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Ezra Bridger has made his choice. He's off to help the Ghost crew rescue a group of Wookiees enslaved by the Empire and sent to the spice mines of Kessel. While there, Ezra and the Empire will learn a secret about a member of the crew that will forever alter the course of galactic history. It's time to revisit Star Wars Rebels Season 1, Episode 1, Spark of Rebellion, Part 2.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen, with the dark shadow of the Empire rising to take their place. This message is a warning and a reminder for any surviving Jedi. Trust in the Force. Do not return to the Temple. That time has passed, and our future is uncertain. We will each be challenged. Our trust, our faith, our friendships. But we must persevere, and in time, a new hope will emerge. May the Force be with you, always.
All right, so welcome back, guys, to our second episode of Star Wars Rebels Revisited. As we continue our conversation about the very first full episode, it was divided into two parts, Spark of Rebellion. Last week, on the previous episode, we talked about part one. And it ends, we didn't really kind of set up the ending of it. The ending is Visago tells the Ghost crew that there are Wookiees being sold as slaves by the Empire. And this is actually a big setup by Agent Kallus. So we haven't introduced him, we haven't talked about him much, we will in this episode. Yeah, Agent Kallus is a big part of this show, from very first episode all the way to the very final episode of season four. And his storyline is actually one of the most interesting storylines with this. But Agent Kallus is sort of he's an Imperial Security Bureau agent. His responsibility is to hunt out any sense of rebellion. And so he's seeking out the Ghost crew, and he wants to trap the Ghost crew because it's pretty clear that this theft of these blasters in the previous episode indicates that there's something going on with the rebellion. There's like something that's been happening regularly. So
He sets up a trap. He sets makes them find out that Wookiees are being sold as slaves, and he expects the goal that they're actually on. He tells them they're on the Star Destroyer or something like that.
Yeah, they're on like some transport
ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the Ghost Crew goes off to save these Wookiees.
Right.
It's a trap. In the immortal words of, I don't have that sound effect, mm-hmm. but I need that sound effect. But
mm-hmm.
It's a trap. It's Admiral Ackbar's moment there for us. And so that's kind of, the decision is made, Ezra's going to go with them, and they're all going to go off,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to try to save these Wookiees. And that's how the second episode, the second part of Spark of Rebellion, gets started. So let me read the synopsis of that, and we'll talk about sort of our initial reaction, our thoughts to episode two. Spark of season one here. So it says, the Ghost Crew flies into a trap set by Agent Kallus, and Ezra is captured. But Ezra learns that the Wookiees are being sent to Kessel and is saved by the Ghost Crew. The rebels head to Kessel to free the Wookiees, but are confronted by Imperial troops, including Agent Kallus. During the rescue of the Wookiees, Kanan draws his lightsaber, revealing himself as a Jedi, and together with the Wookiees, he defeats Agent Kallus and escapes. Having proven himself by opening the holocron, Kanan offers to make Ezra his apprentice. So last week we started with you, BB Nate, so I'll start with you, Samuel the Hutt. What was your initial reaction to this episode?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, I thought it was much... I don't want to say it was much better than the first one, but I enjoyed it more than the first episode. Just because there was less to set up and more than they could just develop the story more. Because the first one was more introducing the characters and getting that set up. But the second one could really get into the story. I loved it.
Yeah, what about you, BB Nate?
Like Sam said, I thought it was a little better than the first episode. I did enjoy it more. It didn't feel like 22 minutes, and it felt longer, much longer, and you know that maybe like...
Was that because it didn't move as quickly, or because there was just so much happening in this episode?
It was so much happening. It was like, you feel like it has to take so much longer than it actually did in 22 minutes, and the amount of stuff that you have to take in with that whole episode is just so overwhelming. You feel like it's a 45-minute episode, but it's not, and so it wasn't that it was a slow episode. It was a... action-packed.
Yeah, chock full of different things going on with that. I love this episode as well. I thought it was a lot of fun. Of course, anytime you introduce Wookiees into the story is cool. You tie in Kessel, Spice Mines of Kessel in this, and then you start thinking Han Solo and Kessel Run, which for me is awesome. But I love the fact that in this episode, we have some fun with Zeb. The fact that Zeb was patterned after the original Ralph McQuarrie concept art for the very early sketches of the script for Star Wars, what we know as Star Wars A New Hope episode 4, which the storyline was completely different when these sketches were made.
Didn't Han Solo have a lightsaber?
No, he was even like it wasn't even Han Solo. He was sort of like the father figure to Anakin Skywalker, who became Luke later. There's a Wookiee-like character, and it's actually Zeb. Zeb is patterned after that original concept art, which is obviously very different from the Wookiees. And so we have this one moment where they try to sneak into the Imperial Starship, and they try to make Zeb the... captured Wookiee, which again, that goes back to episode 4 with Chewbacca on the Death Star.
Yeah.
And they say, haven't you ever, that's not a Wookiee, is what one of the Imperials says. And he's like, they say, haven't you ever seen a rare hairless Wookiee? And so they're playing off of this moment and it happens again in the next episode, Droids in Distress, so we'll talk about that then. But with a different character. But it's a lot of fun to see that. I love this episode. I thought it was great. Okay, so let's talk about favorite parts of this episode. I kind of already teased one of my favorite parts of this episode, but there's one other one I'll share in a little bit. But let's start with you, Samuel. What was your favorite moments of this episode?
By far, when Kanan reveals himself as the Jedi, I absolutely love that part. I mean, you'll see at the end, towards the end of the episode, the rebels are pinned down, and Kanan calls Hera to do a 22 pickup.
Yeah, and this is actually our big revelation with it. But talk about the ending of that, where he offers to become sort of Yeah, start talking about that part, because that's the part you were really talking about.
Mm-hmm. So at the end, you know, Ezra kind of says goodbye to the Ghost Crew, you know, saying, I guess it's over. So he goes back to his old tower, but he sneaks off with...
He's got the hologram. He's stolen the hologram.
That was the lightsaber.
Oh, yeah, I think it maybe had sold off.
Because he threw Kanan the holocron.
Oh, that's right.
And the way the holocron's oriented, they know that he opened it. And he sneaks off with Kanan's lightsaber up to the tower. And eventually he's sitting there and he's kind of playing with it in his hand. And all of a sudden he says, what's the Force? And the camera pans and you see that Kanan's behind there. And he almost quotes Obi-Wan line for line, you know, it's an energy force that surrounds us, penetrates us.
Actually, that's Yoda from Empire Strikes Back, yeah.
No, I feel like an idiot. Anyway, but he...
No, maybe I'm wrong. He could be wrong. I think he probably is right now. I'm thinking about it.
Anyway, and, you know, he offers Ezra... training to help understand the Force and, you know, understand the power that's within Ezra. I really love that part. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's a pivotal moment
in
the series. I mean, obviously the series exists because Kanan reaches out to Ezra at the end of this episode and invites him to join the Ghost Crew. If that doesn't happen, then we don't have a series. But the implications that happen in the Force, if Kanan decided, you know what, I'm not a fully trained Jedi, I'm not a knight, I'm not a master, I can't train anybody in the Force, and decides to leave, then things are going to go very differently for the Rebellion in a few years, because this crew is critical to launching the Rebellion, which is why the show is called Star Wars Rebels. Absolutely. What about you, Nate? What was your favorite moment in this episode?
I think it was more the throughout the whole episode. It was, you know, kind of the back talking between Hera and Kanan. It's kind of like... Hera's like really like talking with him, and it's like kind of like arguing all the time, like it's an interesting relationship you normally see with Han.
It does have a very similar feel to it as like episode 5, Empire Strikes Back, that kind of
bitter,
sarcastic, snarky back and forth kind of tug and war that's going on between Kanan and Hera.
Mm-hmm.
Is similar to Han and Leia, especially in the early, like the first third of Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
And it should be, because the relationship by the end, you talk about that, you know, being their back and forth. Well, they're in love. And they're already in love. And most people have, you know, when you look back on the episodes, you start to see that, you know that. But we have this moment where, at the end, where we find out that they were, you know, they were definitely a couple. Kanera, as you know, if you're into Star Wars fandom at all, you know that like the big thing for the sequel trilogy is Reylo. So you have Kylo Ren and Rey. Well, in the Rebels world, Star Wars Rebels world, it was Kanera. So it was Kanan and Hera, and it's a big thing. And we find out that it's true at the end of season four, towards the middle of season four, you start to really see it.
But like even in the first two episodes, Hera is calling Kanan, babe, or love, or something like that. Yeah,
that's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's cool.
What's your favorite part?
You know, I it kind of goes along with what you're saying with that, but when you're first watching this episode, if you haven't read A New Dawn and you haven't, you know, you're not further into this storyline, you're kind of wondering, you're sort of trying to feel out the Ghost Crew and see who's in charge. And so you've got this, you kind of get this feel that maybe it's Kanan, because Kanan's, you know, calling out the orders while they're trying to steal the stuff and all this kind of thing that's going on. But then when you get into the Ghost, things change.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly Hera's territory.
Yeah.
And she's sort of the mother of this group, and she's telling everybody what to do. And make no question about it, the Ghost is her ship. And she makes that very clear all throughout the series, but it's even at the very beginning.
And that chopper is her joint, territorial.
Yeah, and of course, Chopper is a part of that New Dawn book too. And so you know that this ship is part of, it belongs to Hera. And Kanan actually falls in love with the ship before he falls in love with Hera in the book.
Really?
He absolutely loves this ship, which is fun too, because the ship itself, and it's kind of another nugget that we can talk about here. The ship itself, what's the series number?
VCX
1000 or something like that, 100?
Yeah.
Something like
VCX
that.
VCX 100.
It plays itself out in Solo, A Star Wars Story, when Lando and Han are in, at the Sabacc table, and they're and then Sam's got his Sabacc cards shirt on there. They're sitting there, and they're you know, Han's trying to kind of bait Lando into giving putting out the Millennium Falcon as a bet with it, and so he needs to act like he's already got a ship, and so he's talking about his ship, how it's. You know, the Millennium Falcon is almost as fast as his ship, and he asks him what ship he has, and it's a BCX-100, which is the Ghost ship. And so that's fun, too, because then it plays out in Forces of Destiny, where you have Hera and Han kind of in a back and forth over which ship is faster with that. So it's cool to see how all this comes together now that we do this.
Maneuvering room.
I am not leaving you behind.
No, you're not. We're running a 22 pickup.
Seriously?
You have a better option?
Jump into the pit and get it over with.
All right, I'll be back. Make sure you're ready.
22 pickup? Care to let me in on the secret?
Kid, I'm about to let everyone in on the secret.
So we just saw that clip. This is our big revelation part of this episode. This moment that impacts the entire series throughout the rest of the four seasons with it. And it's obviously it was what you were referring to, kind of as you were setting up this moment at that very end where Kanan offers Ezra to join the crew and to be kind of his apprentice in some ways.
Yeah.
So you know, without going through the entire clip, talk about this moment. In Star Wars history, when Kanan reveals himself to be a Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, like, I just love it. It's, like, one of my favorite, like, all-time favorite parts from the series is, you know, he's asking for the pickup. He's like, kid, I'm about to let everyone in on the secret. And he just walks out there, like, totally confident. I mean, he's just dodging blaster bullets. Like, a blaster bolt, it's like, it's no big deal. And then he just, like, with, like, total confidence says, all right, I'm a Jedi. Let's do this. You know, and he starts taking him out. And it's like a dare to the Empire, you know, and mainly Agent Kallus at this point. It's like a dare. But it, obviously, yeah, it's really important for the rest of the series because, you know, he's got to be able to train Ezra. So now we know he's a Jedi, so it works. I mean, there's spoiler alert. I mean, he sacrifices himself for the Ghost crew. That's a very Jedi thing to do. I mean, it's obvious. It's probably, like, obviously one of the most important setups for the entire series, without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, BB-8? What did you think about this part?
I thought it was a very interesting part, specifically for the fact that when Kanan just goes out there, he just like, you can see that, and just like Kallus is like, wait, hold your fire. And I think Kallus is like, okay, this is really weird. I don't know what this guy is doing and how he's dodging all these blaster bolts. So when he does it, and he's just astonished by the fact that there is still Jedi alive.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why this moment is so important, because if you know, when we talk about what we discussed in the last episode of this with Vader and the Inquisitors searching out the Jedi and any Force-sensitive children, well, we have both of those now in the series. You have Kanan, a former Jedi. Mm-hmm. He's being trained in the temple. He escaped as Order 66. He's been in hiding. He's changed his name. He's, you know, even to the extent where he doesn't even carry his lightsaber with him. And when he does start carrying his lightsaber with him, he carries it in parts.
Yeah.
And so when they, when this moment happens where there's only one way for the Ghost crew to get out of this battle in Kessel, which we can talk about that in a second. Remind me to talk about that, because that's
fine.
With that, when we've got this all going on, the only way is for Jedi, or for Kanan to go full-on Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get that lightsaber, to put it together, and to take on these people like he would if he was a full-on Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been hiding this. He hides it in the A New Dawn book. That's a major plot point of this book, is him hiding that he's a Jedi and not wanting anybody to know. He's been hiding it so far in the series, and so now he can't hide it anymore. It's either he's making a choice at this point himself. Am I willing to put myself out there and tell Agent Kallus, all of those Imperial stormtroopers, and the rest of the galaxy that there's a Jedi here, and his name is Kanan Jarrus? Am I willing to do that in order to save the Ghost crew, or am I going to pull back and hide and hope we can find our another way out of this, which is what he's been doing up to this point in his existence since Order 66.
Right.
You know, it's really, really important. And so now he's outed himself, and we see Kallus at the very close of this episode talking through the holonet to the Inquisitor. And saying, we, you know, this guy, he seems to exhibit force powers. He's got a lightsaber. I think we found a Jedi. He tells the Inquisitor this.
Mm-hmm.
And the Inquisitor's now looking for Kanan with it. At the same time, we've now found out that Ezra's force sensitive. And so that moment from the beginning of this episode, which is the two-part episode, so the very beginning, that ABC version, which we talked about in the previous episode of our podcast and YouTube show,
mm-hmm.
It's now come to truth. And the Inquisitor now knows there's a nexus of this group of rebels, and in it is a Jedi, and in it is a Padawan or a Force-sensitive
mm-hmm.
child. And that's why that focuses the Inquisitors, which is like the main storyline of the entire first season. That focuses the first two seasons, focuses the Inquisitors on the Ghost group.
If you read the first kind of volume of Kanan, the Last Padawan, it kind of, I think it follows a little bit of the New Dawn, but I haven't read it, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. But he really does hide the fact that he is a Jedi. He tries everything in his power. He even met this guy, I guess, kind of like Zago.
Mm.
And that was his only person he could trust, even though he was a very bad person to trust. It kept backstabbing him and then kind of going back on his word, saying, that wasn't backstabbing you, I was saving you. Kind of that type of thing. That he changed his name to Kanan Jarrus. But there were three clone troopers that kept chasing him, knowing that he was a Jedi because they served under his master
mm-hmm.
and with him.
Mm-hmm.
Until one of the clone troopers destroys the ship with them on it to save Kanan
mm-hmm.
from all the Order 66 people. So nobody knows about him because
mm-hmm.
of those clone troopers, because
mm-hmm.
they were the only people. I don't know why they didn't inform the Inquisitors, though.
Who knows?
Perhaps they didn't know about him. They weren't really well...
They weren't well known.
What do you mean?
More
really?
Says.
What do you
mean? Inquisitors. The Inquisitors.
Oh, yeah. They were definitely in hiding.
They were like a secret assassin group, really.
Right. But it is important that we acknowledge what we know from those of us that are... you know, have seen the series and read the comics, like the Darth Vader comics. These Inquisitors are actually former Jedi that are evil. We're going to find that out at the end of episode. I think the end of season one, we find that out. The Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah, was it season one or season two?
I think it's the end of season one.
Season two is
Twilight of the Apprentice is the close of that. And that's the Darth Vader Ahsoka.
Yeah, you're right.
Movie. That's a big one. But anyway, yeah. So So you know, we end this two part first episode. With that moment that you talked about earlier, with Kanan offering the opportunity for Ezra to join the crew, because he knows that Ezra is force sensitive, and for him to sort of take training and to be a part of this. But what we're going to find in the next several episodes, throughout season one especially, is that Kanan, while he knows he's supposed to train Ezra and wants to, he doesn't feel qualified. to do this. And we're going to see that in a few episodes going down where he's actually really reluctant to train Ezra. Even in the next episode, we see that to some extent in Droids of Distress.
Yeah.
But especially when we start getting to like episode 5 and 6, we start to see it. So, awesome. So I guess that's it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in either on podcast or on YouTube here and watching us geek out a little bit about Star Wars like we do. Make sure you're checking out our weekly podcast, which comes out on Mondays. It's available on all your major podcast services. It's available on YouTube as well, but it's only audio on YouTube. This one's our video one. Thank you guys for watching this. Make sure that you check out our Patreon page. Go on there. You'll get early access to our main podcast, early access to this. You're going to get access to our January sort of big galactic themes of Star Wars episode, which is only for our Patreon supporters, which this month's episode is about Hope. That'll be coming out here towards the end of January. We have that available. If you like our theme and you want to be a part of our sticker of the month or a t-shirt of the month club, that's the theme this month is Hope as well. And so you can pick up a t-shirt or a sticker as part of your Patreon support with that. If you please on here on YouTube, especially for those of you watching here, please take a second to subscribe, obviously, but to, you know, give us a thumbs up, give us a like, throw a comment up there about something you appreciated or a question maybe for the episode coming up, or next episode is going to be Droids of Distress, where we already have talked about it, but we'll interact with you guys because we're recording these all at once for the first 4 episodes. But we'll be more than happy to interact with you on those, try to get some of those answered. Follow us on Twitter at Tatooine Sons. Follow us on Facebook at Tatooine Sons, Instagram, and of course here on YouTube. I think that's going to be pretty much it. Oh, check out there's a link down below, both on the podcast and in the YouTube show notes, for where you can get a Star Wars Rebels Revisited t-shirt or hat or mug or button or whatever you want with that. So check that out. I think that's it. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.